If you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to look at something that excites me. It ought to excite you. The rapture. The catching away. God calling His people out. His bride. Calling His bride home. Amen. By the grace of God, we'll look at that a little bit today. We're looking for it, amen. And by the grace of God, for a little while today, we'll be looking at it. And we'll begin again, in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read down through here. It says, "Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I know that's outside of some of the Baptist nurseries. Amen. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's a joke that's been going around for a while. But we're going to be changed. Amen. And it says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Must, I like it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death, where is, or death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And I'll tell you, I am excited that we're not stuck here forever, amen. I like being here and witnessing to folks. I like seeing God work. I like to see His hand move. I like to be in church. Amen. I love to be in church. I don't love a lot of things in this world, but I love being in church. I love being around people that love the Lord. Amen. I love singing about the Lord. I love going to the nursing home. Amen. And I love the opportunities the Lord gives us. I love the peace and comfort He'll give us when we need it. I love the fact that He's long-suffering and merciful and gracious. Man, I'm looking forward to that rapture. Amen. I'll get away from me, amen. The old me and the new me, we'll quit having these arm wrestling matches. And just punch the old me in the mouth and get out of here, amen. It won't matter if I'm a striker then. Ha! No, amen. But I'm looking forward to that. One of these days, things are going to be totally different forever. Forever. In verse number 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I want to first look at the sureness of the rapture. I like that word "shall." It says, "We shall all be changed." It doesn't say maybe or possibly. We shall all be changed. If you called on Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that word "shall." Legal terminology for definitely will happen. That's what it means in the Hebrew, the Greek, the English. You translate it in any language on this earth, it means it will happen. The surety of the rapture. The sureness. And we've got people all over, you know, "I'm waiting for this, I'm waiting for that." Here we are in Revelation chapter 12 or 14 or 15, and here we are, you know, preachers telling us, you know, we're going through this part of the tribulation or that. Hey, I'm not looking for the tribulation, I'm waiting for the rapture, and it's surely going to happen. You say, "Well, people have been saying that for years." Well, yeah, but eventually it's going to happen, amen. When is it going to happen? When God's ready. So why won't it happen now? Well, I do too, but God must not. God's looking down here and saying, "You know what? There's a sinner over there in Preble County walking the street right now that needs to get saved. There's a sinner right down the street from your house that needs to get saved. There's a sinner, he's going to check into the hospital today. He needs to get saved. There's a sinner at the checkout line at Kroger needs to get saved." God says, "I got people out there that still love me, and if they'll do what I'm calling them to do, people are still going to get saved. I'm not coming back until people are through getting saved." Amen. I believe that because He's a long-suffering God. And I believe that because He's put up with me. Why would it just be about me? He's still saving souls. I believe when he calls that last person out that's going to get saved in the church age, he's going to come back. But I'm looking forward to that rapture, and it surely will happen. The sureness. Verse 52, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The surety, the sureness, now we see the swiftness. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're not getting a warning. I mean, it's going to happen quicker than that. It surely will happen. It swiftly will happen. I don't have a lot of patience sometimes. Y'all struggle with the same patience issues I have sometimes. When you want something done and you want something finished, you want it now. Amen. When Walmart, if it says it's at aisle A14, I expect it to not be there. Amen. Either the shelf's empty or they moved it. Nobody knows where it's at. But I like things to have a little bit of order. I like to feel like I have a little bit of control. Amen. Men are like that. Amen. Women aren't, though. They don't want to control men or anything. Amen. No. I'm just saying, we are like that as people. We like to feel like we have a little bit of control. Why would it take 2 weeks to get me something that I could drive down the street and buy with money? Can't you just get it to me in 10 minutes if I email you the check or whatever it is? You know, I want things now. But you know what? That rapture is going to happen like that. I mean, it's going to happen. You're not going to be waiting around for parts. Amen. You'll get all new ones real quick. We're not going to be, okay, Lord, I think it might be going. It ain't going to be like that. It's going to be swift. We're going to be out of here. But you know what that also means? Whatever you're doing when it happens is what you're going to be found doing. You're not going to get a warning. Here's the warning. It surely will happen. It swiftly will happen. My suggestion to you as a pastor is you better be right with God when it happens. First of all, if you're not saved, you need to get born again. You need to call on Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you're saved and you've got something between you and God, you've got a sin you're struggling with, you better get that thing right with the Lord, because it will happen surely and it will happen swiftly. I mean, like that, faster than that, you'll be standing and you'll be the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be answering for your sin. I'm not talking about whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. I'm talking about whether you've done something for the Lord, what you were doing for the Lord, or you were living for the flesh your whole life. Hey, get it under the blood of Jesus Christ, so when you're standing there, you'll have something pass through that fire and you'll be able to lay it back at the feet of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where he's worthy than anything we could give him back. More worthy. It will happen surely. It will happen swiftly. Verse 53, it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We looked at the sureness, we looked at the swiftness, look at the supernal. It's like a supernatural. This incorruptible, we're getting a new body. A new body. Could you imagine that? I like cars. You take a car, you get a second generation Camaro. I love Camaros. I like Camaros a lot. I used to love Camaros. I got over the love part. I love my wife, I love my family, I love the Lord, I love my church family. We've got to get this thing right. I really like Camaros, second generation Camaros. But if you get a second-generation Camaro, you're going to have to do some work on it. I don't care if it costs you $50,000. There's something on it because it's old. Like me, there's something wrong with me because I'm old, amen? I got rust on my quarter panels. But you might want to patch that panel and paint that thing and get it looking pretty. And no matter what you do to it, there's still corrections that have been made. And somebody can take a magnet and find out that thing's full of Bondo. Somebody can look at that paint and say, that's not factory paint. Somebody can find a spot, a blemish, a problem. You can drive it down the road with everything going perfect and that thing blow up. But we're getting a new body. It ain't going to have no missing parts. It ain't going to have any faulty parts. It ain't going to have any breaking parts. Amen. And it's not going to have this old flesh dragging it down. Something's going to happen surely and swiftly and supernaturally. We're going to be like Jesus Christ if you're saved. Verse 54 says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." We see the swallowing up of death forever. You notice the Bible says that we shall not prevent those that sleep in Christ. Stephen was stoned, he fell asleep. Because we're going to live forever. Amen? But death is swallowed up. This flesh is dead. This flesh has already been judged dead. When you called on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, God said, "That flesh is dead. I'm in you. I'm your life." And since it's surely going to happen, the rapture, and it's swiftly going to happen, and God's going to bless you with not only eternal salvation, He's going to give you a supernatural body to live like Him forever. Don't you think you ought to try to live like Him now? It's surely coming. It will swiftly happen. What will you be found doing? I mean, we talk about it, and I'm not joking. I'd love to be singing Amazing Grace as a church family all together in here and just... I don't want to be caught out of here after somebody cuts me off on 70. 2.4 seconds after they clip my bumper. I want to be called out of here singing Amazing Grace. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. It's going to happen. One day the rapture's coming. It's surely coming. It's swiftly coming. A supernatural body. It's swallowing up a death. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin." The sting. You think about that sting. You know, the Bible talks in Revelation when it's talking about those plagues and the things that are dumped out on this earth. And after we're gone, praise the Lord. After that, surely, swiftly, rapture we're waiting for. But it talks about those scorpions that are stinging men, and men want to die and they can't. They're begging for death and they can't. Because God's taking them through a judgment they can't get out of until He's done. Amen? I was talking about it in Sunday school. Look, I had the opportunity to have lunch with Brother Mac the other day, and Brother Jerry, and had to go to the bank and come back. Left my car parked at the restaurant. Walked back over there and seen these two elderly people sitting in the truck. And the Lord said, "Give them a track." And they handed him a track, and he handed it back to me. He said, "I'm Catholic. We go to church all the time." I said, "Well, we try to, too." He goes, "We go several times a week." I said, "We try to, too." I said, "I just want to tell you what the Bible says." He goes, "Oh, we're Catholic." And I'm looking at and talking to two of the sweetest old people you ever meet. They're going to burn in hell forever if they don't trust Christ, their Lord and Savior. And we got to talking, and the more we talked, the more I realized that guy and I, we could sit and talk about things of this world, and we'd agree on probably 85-90% of what we're talking about. But when it comes to getting to heaven, no common ground. I said, "Look, I'm looking at that dear lady, and she reminds me, I mean, I wanted to adopt her as my grandma. This sweet lady sitting in this pickup." I said, "I just want you to know the Bible says, 'For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.' It's not about being Baptist. It's not about being Presbyterian." I didn't start with Baptist. I try not to do that. "It's not about being Methodist. It's not about being Pentecostal. It's not about being Baptist or down the list, Nazarene, Lutheran, or Catholic. It's about being born again. It's about calling on Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive you and save you, because we're all sinners, and that's why He died." And they just, yeah. They didn't hear it. Like I said at Sunday school, it broke my heart because God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. We got two of the sweetest people you'd ever talk to sitting in a truck. I mean, God, somebody's blessed them, amen? They got stuff. He's worked hard his whole life. They've went through their religion. They've done what their men of God would tell them they needed to do to maybe get in. And they've done everything they think is right, but they haven't done the one thing they have to do. And they just shake their head and say, "Yeah." And it just went in one ear and out the other. I don't even think it went in the ear. And you know, you can feel it. You can see when they hear it, you can see when they don't. The sting of death. Then you look at Paul. They have that fire out there, and Paul sticks his hand down there, and that serpent bites him, that snake bites him on the arm. No sting of death for Paul. Anybody else would have been, anybody there would have been bitten by that snake that had been dead. But Paul, no sting of death for Paul because he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know what it says right here? The sting of death. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. We've sure the surety of the rapture, the swiftness of the rapture, the supernatural body, the swallowing up of death. Hey, that's going to happen whether it's the rapture, the undertaker, or the uppertaker. The sting of death is sin. Sin is what causes man to be worthy of going to hell. But rejecting Jesus Christ is what actually puts people there. It doesn't matter what anybody's done. The one thing that gets people into a lake of fire forever and ever and ever in the church age is not calling on Jesus Christ. It's not the fact that they're wicked, they lie, they cheat, they steal, they got a bad heart. It's the fact that they won't trust Jesus Christ and call on His name for salvation. And when they stand at that white throne judgment, God's going to say, "You didn't call on my Son." They're going to go, "I know I look, but I understand, but look, I did this was wrong and this was wrong, but let me get my right list out." And God says, "All your righteousness are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. It was my righteousness that I offered you, and you rejected it." Sting of death. The strength of sin. You know what it says? The strength of sin is the law. You know, Jesus Christ didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled it. So you're not under that sting of death. You know, that sin don't have strength over you because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law for you. So, look, you don't have to live defeated. You don't have to be defeated. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What Christ makes free is free indeed. You're free. You're free. You're free for the first time once you're saved to make the right decisions. Amen. You're free to say, "Look, I don't want to try to tickle the fancy of the flesh the rest of my life. I want to have peace and joy. I want to please Him." The strength of sin, it's the law. Once you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're freed from the law. Amen? Amen. 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God. The strength of sin, when you see the sweetness of salvation. You ever just sit by yourself with your Bible open and just think about salvation? I mean, what it really means, how sweet it really is. It's not just words. The sweetness of salvation. The sweetness of security. My wife and I were talking about this the other day in Bible study. The right hand and the left hand. The right hand's a place of honor and a place of respect. My sister's left-handed. She said, "I won't have to talk to that girl." Anyway, it's just that it is. It shows up as a place of honor, the right hand. And the Bible says you're in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. I believe we're in God's right hand. Amen? I mean, if the Creator of everything in Genesis 1:1 has you in His right hand, He's putting you... You know what? Another reason I believe that? Because if you're saved, you're the bride of Christ. And if He honors anybody, it's His bride. Amen? I believe you're there in the right hand of God. I believe that's where we are. I believe that. No man can pluck us out. I mean, if you're in God's right hand, and us being so unworthy, and He thinks so highly of us, why would we not want to live right for Him? Sin's pleasurable for a season. What sin gives you enough pleasure to override the comfort and peace of actually being in the will of God? That sin doesn't exist. Oh, you can have some temporary pleasure, worldly pleasures in this world with things that are against the Lord. But if you want to have peace, You need to be right with God. You say, well, I got all kinds of time. Oh, you don't know that. You don't know that. He could call us out of here right now. It's surely going to happen. And it's swiftly going to happen. Supernaturally going to happen. If you're in God's will, it'll be the sweetest thing that ever happened. Amen. The sweetness of salvation, the sweetness of security, the sweetness of Christ. I am looking forward to seeing a lot of folks. And I hope I see more than I'm even expecting to up there. But I'll see my Savior. Amen. Finally see Brother Jerry Gard using his happy feet. He always talked about it. Amen. For his Savior. Sweetness. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I see the Mennonites and different folks around, German Baptists, I don't know who else what, but they've got the signs out. They always put signs about the law out. Keep the law. Keep the law. Keep the law. Keep the law. Well, they're putting themselves under the law. It's a shame, but at least they're putting something out. And then up here by the store up the road, Steiner's, I think it is, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's true. If you're in the Lord. If you're in sin. See, because Ephesians chapter number 1 and 2 talks about being in sin or being in Christ. And that's what God does. He performs that spiritual operation where He takes you out of your sin, places you in Christ, and separates your flesh from your soul. So your soul is going to heaven. Your soul is saved. Your flesh is going back to the dirt someday. Or it's just going to drop on the ground. The blood's going to run out. And you're going to be out of here surely and swiftly. But if you're in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Quit watching TV and you won't feel that way, amen. Quit listening to the radio. Quit getting caught up in everything that's going on in the world and start working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you're not in the Lord, everything you're doing is in vain. That poor little man, I say poor little man, he's supposed to be leading his house, but that man and that little lady in that truck and everything they've done for 60, 70, 80 years, if they don't call on Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, everything was in vain. Isn't that sad? How sad is it that somebody could be blood-bought, born again, and live their life in vain? Better get right, sinner. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We see the steadfastness of the believer. The steadfastness of the believer. Hey, look, we know some things. If you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. If you're saved and you've been in this church over 10 times, you know you're not going to lose your salvation. You know God has given us a perfect Bible. Or that you just tolerate hearing it every day that you hear. But you know God's given us a perfect word that we can count on. You know He's given us a ministry, not just a name on a church building. And our ministry belongs to not the pastor, but everybody in this church, amen. It's a ministry, and it's your personal ministry that you choose to be a part of this church with, and your personal ministry is to tell people in your life about Jesus Christ. And to tell people lost and saved that you care about them, you're praying for them, and if they need something, and they look at you like we talked about in Sunday school for answers to things that are spiritual when they have nobody else to turn to. You've got a ministry. And your ministry is not filling a pew 3 hours a week. Amen. That's actually a biblical obligation. You're supposed to be here, so don't feel special if you just show up. Be special for God. Be the one that He can count on when your neighbor needs to hear about Jesus Christ. Be the one He can count on when somebody needs somebody to pray for them and tell them, hey, we care about you and we're praying for you. Be the one that he can count on to stand on truth and say, hey, we're not wavering. Be the one that he can count on not to compromise and say, I'm not switching Bibles. I'm not switching churches unless you switch me, Lord. I'm not switching my belief systems. I'm not switching the wrong way. I'm not going to accept the things of the world. We're not going to go that way. I'm not just going to blend in. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to be some kind of a secret agent spy type Christian. I'm going to live a life that glorifies you by the grace of God in your strength. Be that person that God can count on. I mean, honestly, anybody in here that was saved after 10, 15, 20 years old probably served the devil more than they ever served the Lord. I mean, they probably give the devil 15, 20 solid years. And they want to serve the Lord by showing up on Sunday and putting something in the plate. Puke. That's between you and the Lord. I'm telling you what, that's not what God expects. He's coming back. And he expects us to represent him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be ye holy, he says, I am holy. Get right with God. I say, well, I do every Sunday morning. Well, what about Monday through Friday and Saturday? I don't know if you check the name on this. I don't know what it means anymore, but it used to mean Baptists didn't go to places most people did on Friday and Saturday. Used to, I said. Amen. Used to be Baptists didn't use the language the people use in this world. Used to be they didn't tell the jokes that the world told. Used to be they didn't listen to the jokes. It used to mean something. You know what people used to think when they heard the word Baptist? There's somebody right there that knows the Lord believes the Bible. You know what they think now? What does that mean? You know how I know that? Because I don't even know what it means anymore. All I know is what it's supposed to mean. That we love Jesus Christ, we believe that book, and we're going to try to stay right with God. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Whatever. Be a Christian. People ought to look at us and say, you know what, there's something worth having that they have. Like we talked about in Sunday school, when you got a glass of muddy water and they got a glass of muddy water, why do they want to drink yours? You know what they need? They need clean water. Where do they get it? From Jesus Christ. He's surely coming back. He's swiftly coming back. He's supernaturally coming back. Oh, what a sweet day it'll be. Steadfast. You don't have to quit. You don't have to be defeated. You'll be right with God. Look, if you get your sin under the blood of Christ here, you'll never have to worry about it again. Now, I understand sowing and reaping. I understand people get right with God spiritually and they still have physical things. And I understand and God still whoop you down the road sometimes. But if you get it right with God here, you won't have to get it right up there. You say, well, I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to the great white throne judgment. Well, don't be so cocky. You know what it says when it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ? Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Talking about people going to the judgment seat of Christ, because when we get up there, we'll be just like Joseph's brethren. When they come down there and they're at his feet, they're bowed down, face to the dirt. They're not looking to see who Joseph is. They know he knows who they are. They don't have a clue who he is. There are going to be a lot of blood-bought, born-again believers get to the judgment seat of Christ. They won't know who he is. Right. All they'll know is somebody saved them. They didn't open a Bible enough to have any idea who Jesus Christ was or is. Amen. Say, well, we went through a Revelation Bible study. We're better than the church down the road. Well, praise the Lord. We went through a Bible study. You know some things that some people don't. Some people know some things we don't. How about knowing Jesus Christ and walking with him? Surely he's coming back. Swiftly he's coming back. Supernaturally he's coming back. And he's going to bless you for eternity like he's never blessed before. Why not live for him today? Hey, the booze, the dope, the whoremongering, all that filth that's out there, all the dirty jokes, all the nasty stuff that's going on, all the wickedness, all the perversion, don't part into that. Don't get into that mess. Separate from that stuff. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Hey, look, we all get dirt on us. We're in the world. Sometimes we throw it on ourselves.
Hey, born again believers been known to spit on the ground and waller in it
like a hog. But you can get right with God. God's been blessing this church. I don't want him to quit. I don't. And I do hope he calls us out here on a Sunday morning. But if he doesn't, I hope he finds every single person in here in his will. And if he don't, it's not his fault. It's yours. Hey, maybe you've been messed up all week. Maybe you've been struggling all... Hey, good news is if you're struggling, you're still in the battle. Don't quit the struggle. Just get on your face and call out to God. And he'll put you back on track. He's surely coming back. He's swiftly coming back. And we should be steadfast. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, it doesn't just say steadfast. I'm steadfast. I'm focused on Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what he called me to do. You know what he says? Unmovable. Now, you ladies, if you're married, you know sometimes husbands are unmovable. Amen? I mean, you're trying to get them. My wife doesn't understand my cleaning methods. She doesn't understand my filing methods. She doesn't understand any of my methods. I don't either. All I know is if you move it, I'll never find it again. And if I'm looking for it, I couldn't find it anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But sometimes it's good to be unmovable. King James Bible, I'm not moving. You know, when they sing that song, "We Shall Not Be Moved," most of them mean they never go on the altar, ain't never going to pray, ain't never going to do anything for the Lord. We shall not be moved. Hey, I'm not moving from the truth. I'm not moving from the, you know, I love being an old school Baptist. I won't be no new school Baptist. I want to change our name to, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth Baptist. I want the old path. Wherein is the good way, according to the Bible. I'm not moving. Hymnals. Not moving. Amen? If they can take all the garbage they want and call it Christian, I ain't moving. Amen? The smoke, the electric guitar, I ain't moving. This is what God wants us to do. Yeah, hey, psalm. You want to sing through the psalm? We got songs in the Bible you can sing straight out of the book, but I ain't moving the other way. I'm not moving my beliefs in this book unless God moves them. I'm talking about calling on Jesus Christ for salvation. I'm talking about being eternally secure. I'm talking about waiting for the rapture before the tribulation. I'm talking about realizing that Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years after the end of the tribulation. Realizing that we're going on into eternity. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth after the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. I'm not moving on that. He says, be steadfast and unmovable on the things that are right. If there's something wrong, move on it. Move away from it. But don't move away from right. Amen. We were in here last Sunday bragging on Jesus Christ. I made a comment, didn't think anything of it. I believe the Lord was in it. You want to see the Lord work? Show up at the nursing home at 1 o'clock. Did he work last Sunday at the nursing home? He was invited. And he showed up. Amen. What would happen if we invited him on Saturday night, every Sunday? You know, show up every Sunday. Every person in here was praying Friday, Saturday night. Lord, show up and do something Sunday. Oh, Lord, show up and do something for us Wednesday. How about if everybody in here every morning was saying, Lord, show up and do something with me today? Some days I don't have my heart in it, but I do it. I'm being honest with you. Unless you're lying, you're going to say the same thing. Some days I get on my face, I say, Lord, I'm not even right today. I don't know. I'm a mess. I need you. Do something today. Show me something. 2, 3, 4, 5 hours in a day, he just shows up and does something miraculous. You know why? Because I asked him to. I expected him to. I didn't know when. I thought, honestly, I thought it wasn't going to be that day. Lord, I'm so messed up. He just shows up to say, it's not about you. I'm going to show up and show you something. He'll do that for every single one of us every single day. Amen. Man, I'll tell you what, I could almost empty that track rack in a day if I did what the Lord called me to do every day. I could empty it. I probably, by myself, every one of us, if you'd pray and ask God to give you the opportunity, could easily hand out a track a day. Or mail one out. You got lost people on their way to hell that are writing letters trying to get people enticed into being part of their religion. You got saved people that are born again and saved forever, doing nothing for Jesus Christ. Old preacher said one time, I wish I could tell people they'd lose their salvation. Maybe they'd get up and start doing right. But it wouldn't be right. Because God wants you to do it because you love Him, not because He's making you do it. God's not a Calvinist at all. He's a zero-point Calvinist. He don't make you do anything. Matter of fact, He ain't going to make people jump into a lake of fire. They're going to do it on their own one day. They'll be cast out, but they'll agree with it. He's surely coming back. He's swiftly coming back. Be steadfast and unmovable on things that are right. Be an example of somebody that's trying to be like Jesus Christ. That's what the world's looking for. They're looking for somebody that's backing up what they're saying when they're talking about Jesus Christ and how good He is. Because everything else is just vain. Just words. Wasted. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad You're coming back, Lord. I'm glad You're going to do it in Your time. Lord, if You do call us out of here soon, help us, Lord. Strengthen us. I pray that every single person in here will be right dead center of Your will when You do. Lord, bless this church. Breathe on this church. Bless the postcards that have been sent out. Bless the tracts that are handed out. Bless the nursing home ministry, the workers and the residents. Bless Joshua and the other fellows as they're playing and singing at another church today. Lord, bless them and help them. Bless that church service. If it's still going, Lord, help them. And Lord, all the Bible-believing churches out there, help them. Help us. Help us to understand. Help us to get a better view of self and a better view of You so we can be right with You. Because You're surely coming back. We know You're swiftly going to call us out of here. And Lord, help us to be steadfast and unmovable in the meantime. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.